Oh, yeah. Mal Meninga is our special guest for today from 12 to 1 every Thursday. We're very excited about it for season 2023. And the great man is on the line. Hello, Mal.
Jimmy, how are you, mate? Thanks for that wonderful introduction.
You know what? It's funny, isn't it? Because about 2 hours ago, we were sitting here and I was talking to Coach K, our intrepid producer here, and I said, we need to get the audio of Mal Meninga scoring the try in the 1994 grand final. And they said, we've already got it. It's in the intro.
Well, there you go. Oh,
fantastic.
No, I appreciate it, actually. Yeah, because that's my last living memory of playing rugby league here in Australia.
Yeah. So that an amazing year, but an amazing day for you guys as well. You just blew the Bulldogs away, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a great week of prep, you know. So we obviously learned from the past as well, you know. So, we won in 89, 90. We lost in 87, 91. So we're on the cusp of, that was a great footy side. I always say that's probably the best club football side I played with, the 94 Raiders, because you had the Laurie Daly's, the Ricky Stewart's, the Bradley Clydes, the Steve Walters already there. Then we had new young fellas like Ruben Wickey and Dave Ferner and Jason Croker and those types of players. They were terrific players. And, they're one of the legends of the Raiders from way back.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking about it. So you rate the 94 side higher than 89 or 90?
Yeah, I do. I do, just on pure talent, to be honest with you. And then the way we won it as well, So we had to come from fourth again, but we had a really good footy side and people didn't really quite understand it at the time. But our preparation all week was fantastic. I just knew that we were on, just how good Canterbury going to be on the day. And but obviously, Paul Osborne come to the throw. We had Johnny Lomax, who was suspended the week before. He come on and just created havoc for about 22 minutes. Then he was throwing ball everywhere. We had to get him off. and then we just continued on to win the EF, but it was all sort of blown apart in the first 20 minutes of that game.
Yeah. Osborne was the way that Ray Warren described it.
I was talking to Bobby McRae. He was a trainer at the time, obviously one of the head trainer and obviously assistant coach to Sheensy, Tim Sheens. And I said to Bobby, I said, can you go tell Tim, please, that I think Paul Osborne's time's up in this grand final. Can you please get him off?
I think, he had two try assists though,
he had two try assists, he was killing it.
Yeah.
So we kicked off and poor Marty Bella dropped the ball, unfortunately, behind the line. Well, fortunately for us, we got the ball back and more or less the next set of six we scored. Dave Furness scored off Ozzy. And then, it's not so long after that, Ozzy went down a short side, which is, he's a great ball player.
Yeah.
And a good player, don't get me wrong. And around the corner to Kenny Nagus, who was just coming into his prime as well. And I think he stepped inside Scotty Wilson, who was the fullback of the Dogs, and under the post, basically. And then we scored again, I think, off one of Ozzy's great passes. But that was about it then, because he kept on trying, So, and we're letting Bulldogs back in the game because he kept on making errors. So we had to get him off. It was about 22 minutes and about 15 seconds into the first half, to be exact.
Yeah, that's right. Not like you've remembered that for any particular reason.
No, we remember it vividly.
Yeah. Hey, all right, so we've got a lot to get through today, and we need a bit of help from the listeners as well. 1300 01 1170. Get us on that text line as well, 0457 736 736. If you want to talk to Mal Meninga, premiership winning captain of the Kangaroos, have won the Ashes, coach of the Great Queensland sides, coach of the Kangaroos who won the Rugby League World Cup, and immortal of rugby league. So as I was saying earlier, I think the CV is pretty strong there, Mal, which is great. If you want to ask Mal anything, you can, 1300 01 1170. Whilst we're down memory lane, can I get, so you mentioned 87-91 you lose grand finals, but you win 89-90 and 94. Your game in the 91 grand final, Mal, was extraordinary in that tight loss to Penrith. Do you think back about that day and think, well, you couldn't have done much more?
I do, Jimmy, because again, I say, the 94 side was the best side that I played in, from a premiership point of view, but I think 91 was our best year.
Right.
And I say that because it was the first year of the salary cap. So the game brought the salary cap in 91, and obviously that decimated the Raiders club. And And through that year, we we lost. Gary Belcher was crook, with knee injury, I think, at the time. Laurie Daly had had some issues. Glenn Lazarus had issues with his chest.
Yes.
Ricky Stewart had a groin injury that he had to get injections for every week just to play. He wasn't even training through the week. So all the things, all the hurdles we had to get over in 91, and we still made the grand final on the back of this, our third in a row.
Yeah.
So, but in saying that, Penrith were the best team all year. They won the minor premiership by a long way, and they deserved to win the grand final. But I thought 91 was one of our best achievements just to get there, to be honest with you. And we come second in the race. But we did everything we possibly can to win it.
Yeah.
Really proud of everyone's performance. And I was really happy with my performance as the captain of the team. But I always say that 91 was our most courageous year, I believe. And we had to fight hard just to even make the grand final.
Yeah, right. Well, one of the great club sides, of course, at the time was the Broncos along with the Canberra Raiders. We never quite got that matchup, Broncos v Raiders, in a grand final. We've got the Broncos in action tomorrow night, Mal. It seems to have captured the imagination of not just all of Queensland, but the rugby league world. 3-0 Dolphins hosting the 3-0 Broncos at Suncorp. And there's so many sub-stories going through it. One of them, obviously, is around the coaches. Now, we're going to hear Kevvy Walters first up here on taking on the Dolphins.
We know Redcliffe's mindset or the Dolphins' mindset, and we know our mindset's got to be really strong. So that's been happening since we came into the competition. Every team wants to beat the Broncos, and I'm thinking that the Dolphins are probably in that category.
So there's Kevvy talking about it. The incredible thing, and I mentioned it earlier on Matty White's program, and that is that you have a relationship with Kevvy Walters that dates back to when he was an 18-year-old that came to Canberra, brought by Wayne Bennett, who you know from when you were a 15-year-old in the police academy. Tell us about when you first met Wayne.
Oh, I didn't know anything about Wayne because I come from the bush areas, and dad was my hero. He was a captain coach or coach in those regional areas out near Monto, and I was born in Bundaberg and all those sort of places. I didn't quite know who Wayne Bennett was, so I always wanted to be a policeman though, Jimmy. So for whatever reason, I joined the police force, and because I always wanted to be. And then Wayne came up to me one day, and it would have been January, and he said to me, because he must have watched me down on the fields playing a bit of touch footy.
Yep.
And he must have liked what he saw, apparently,
Yeah.
And he came up to me and he said, "You play a bit of football, do you, son?" Because he was a constable at the time. He was part of the police academy PE staff at the time.
Yeah.
And I put myself basically and said, yes, constable, I like rugby league, And then he more or less said to me, he looked down at me, he frowned upon me with his big long neck, and he said, "We'll see." And then he just turned around and just took off. And I'm going to say that's my first encounter with Wayne Bennett.
Wow.
And I've been scared ever since because he made that impressionable mark on me through when I was 15 years of age. But also he became my coach, 15, 16, 17 years of age. I joined Brisbane South at 18 and 79. Under him as well. So the next 5 years, he was a really instrumental figure in my life, my life, but also my football life. And if it wasn't for those formative years under Wayne, in my opinion, maybe I wouldn't have reached the heights that I did in the game. So I'm always forever thankful. But in 87, we had a good conversation around what I should do next. I just come off a really good stint at St. Helens overseas in the 84-85 season.
Yep.
Wayne come back to South in 84-85. So 85, I asked him, what do you think I should do? And, I really made up my mind. I wanted to go play in Sydney, and I wanted to make, prove myself in the best competition in the world. So we had this conversation, and eventually I made a decision to come to Canberra. Don Ferner was the coach. He was the national coach at that particular time as well. And he felt that I probably wouldn't survive. I was a young country kid, wouldn't survive, very shy, introverted, wouldn't survive in Sydney. So I decided to come down to Canberra. 86 didn't work out. So I was talking to Wayne about the possibility, maybe coming down, and then the club bought into that, obviously, and he came down and co-coached with Donnie Ferner in 87.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he brought a young Kevin Walters and a young Peter Jackson down.
Wow.
From Queensland. You know, Kevin was just coming through the, he was just a young kid out of school, and Jacko was, you know, playing for Brisbane South as well, where Wayne was coaching. And I met Kevy, you know, and in 87, he's this young kid just out of school. His nickname is Unit, because he was a bit of a plump kid, you know, yes. As a kid, you know, yeah. So he actually got the nickname Unit. But in that first year, you know, you could see, you know, he's Steve Walters' brother. You could see he had it. He was a great personality. You know, he had the character he has today as an individual. And, you know, we've gone on ever since, you know. So, you know, Wayne's, that goes back 47-odd years.
Wow.
And Kevy's, you know, 30-odd years, you know, so 35 years. So we go back a long way.
Yeah. I mean, Kevy's just, I think he's won 6 grand finals and played in 7 of them, which is just amazing. But there was that really interesting part of his career when he went back to Brisbane, and I think they lost maybe to Penrith in a semi-final, and he missed a tackle on Brad Izzard. And he spent basically all of the off-season doing tackling drills with Trevor Gilmeister.
Yeah.
And just, like, that's an application to a task, isn't it? Wayne might have been getting him to do it, but you still have to do it.
Well, when he went back to the Broncos, as we all know, you know, he formed this great combination. I mean, they're already mates, but with Alfie, they're already mates from, you know, Ipswich era and things like that. But, you know, he was the – Alf was the genius, you know. He could just – make things happen off a whim, but Kevy was the organizer. You know, he kept the team in order, and that's obviously why it makes him such a very good coach, because he's got that attention to detail. So, but he learned all this, I guess, off not only being a footballing family, the Walters family, but also under Wayne. So Wayne has been his tutor for ever since 87.
Yeah.
So you know, they go back a long way as well. So yeah, I mean, it's an incredible partnership and friendship. Obviously, they won't be friends, you know, come Friday night, but that's only for 80 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And it's been an up-and-down relationship probably ever since Kevy retired in different ways. And here we are all these years later, Mel. Wayne Bennett, the coach in 2023, up against Kevin Walters, the coach in 2023. How do you reckon that plays out?
Oh, they know each other really, really well. I mean, they'll try not to make a big deal out of it, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously there's mind games, and, you know, Wayne started that after the game around it's the easiest game to coach and all that. Yeah. But that's true, though. I mean, you look at the teams. I mean, the players want to play in the biggest games and in front of the biggest crowds. You know, Suncorp sold out, 56,000 people. Come and watch a local derby. The Dolphins' first year, 3-0 and, you know, flying at the moment. So it's going to be a great contest. So it just adds to the, you know, the drama and the excitement of the great game of rugby league, and having a true local derby in Brisbane is fantastic.
Yeah, because you, as you say, you spent your early time in the Brisbane rugby league comp, which was really respected. But it wasn't until the Broncos came in that then, you know, that touch of the New South Wales rugby league, as it was at the time, went there, and then Broncos have had this hold over the third largest city in Australia, which seemed a little unfair at times. What do you reckon it means? Because I look at other sports, Mel, and I look at when the Wanderers came in, it made Sydney FC better. When the Giants came in, it made the Sydney Swans have to smarten up their act. Do you reckon this is the Dolphins coming in is just what the Broncos need about, hey, we've got a bit of competition in town now?
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly, definitely. There's always been an element in Brisbane that didn't follow the Broncos, and whether it be supporters or commercial-based or whatever the case may be. But what it also does, Jimmy, is actually heightens the maintenance of other clubs as well. So, I mean, the Gold Coast Titans all of a sudden have got to pick their act up. And the North Queensland Cowboys have got to actually pick their act up in Queensland. They're talking about maybe even a 15 in Queensland. And the Storm are up there, you know, on the sunny coast as well. So it actually, it does. It does get you thinking, other clubs thinking around, well, what do we have to do different to keep pace with all this, or be in front, become, you know, what best practice are we, you know, to get that competitive edge in the competition, you know? So, yeah, it puts everyone on their toes. There's no doubt about that. And the Finns they're a very wealthy club.
Yeah.
You know? So, and they've got already got great reach. They've already got great history in Brisbane and around the state. So, and Wayne, obviously, you know, he's a major attraction and all that. He helps set up the Broncos.
Yeah.
So there's an element of the supporter base and the fan base and the commercial base to go follow Wayne, because, you know, Wayne, success follows Wayne as well. So, you know, so it makes everyone stand up to look, and particularly with the start of the Finns this year, you know, it just adds an extra bit of drama to the whole, you know, play. You look at, we talked about this before, Jimmy, around tonight, we've got a replay of the grand final.
Yeah.
And all we're talking about is the Dolphins and the Broncos.
Yeah, extraordinary, isn't it? Extraordinary. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line as well. Lots of texts coming in for Big Mal. Keep them coming in. 0457 736 736. We're going to go back and have a look at the Rugby League World Cup of 2022. We'll look at that, the games coming up. We'll look at some coaches who are under pressure. We'll get Mal's thoughts on all of these things. We'll have a chat about the Titans as well. All that coming up in the Throwdown with Mal Meninga, the very first version of it. We've got to get ourselves to a break. After the break, we're back with your calls and your text messages. Stick around.